Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9a. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which had five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going down, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Okay, so I'm sure you're familiar with this string of commercials, "Just okay is not okay." And this capacity that we have as human beings to settle for good enough is kind of the subject of the message today. The title of the message is No Stupid Questions. That's the saying these days, there are no stupid questions. That's a millennial saying. I grew up with, if you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer, right? But today we say there are no stupid questions, and I guess I'm going to have to beg to differ. I've been online and checked a site where some school teachers have filed some questions. First, I collected one from my wife. She says she just about wants to pick up any student and shake them when they say, "Are we supposed to put our name on this?" You know, at some point that ought to have gotten into your DNA, but here are some classroom questions. How do the deer know to cross the road at those signs? Or what do they call those pyramid-shaped things in Egypt? Or there are web pages where you can go online and ask your questions. Yahoo Questions is one of them, and on Yahoo Questions, this question appeared. How do I ask a question on Yahoo Questions? Or this one. How do I contact the YouTube people to get them to come and record the funny things that happen at my house? And maybe you have to be of a certain generation to catch that one. I was working in an architect's office one day, and there's a publication that is put out for contractors to let them know what jobs will be coming up soon so that they can kind of figure out where they're going to want to put their sources and what things they're going to want to bid on. And they would call the architect's offices every now and then, and they called, and I answered the phone one day, and she said, "Do you have any new jobs that you're working on that'll be coming out for bid this summer?" I said, "Well, yes, ma'am. We're working on a new state headquarters for the AFL-CIO. She said, "Could you spell that, please?" So I don't know if those are stupid questions. I don't know if that breaks the paradigm or not. But then you get this one. Do you want to be healed? Jesus talking to an invalid at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed? And our first reaction to that question is, what kind of a foolish question is that? Of course the man wants to get better. Everyone wants to get better. Nobody wants to be trapped in their illness. And besides, look where he is. He's at this place that in those days had a reputation for healing. Evidently, the reputation went back into almost prehistoric times. There had been pagan temples on that site because there was a spring that welled up from the ground, and they believed that that spring had healing powers. Now the pool is in behind the temple courts, and according to at least one rabbinic source, the waters from the lavers in the temple were drained into this pool, and there was this notion that those waters, being holy as they were, coming from the Temple Mount, maybe had healing power. So this was a place where people who had run out of other opportunities for healing went. This was the sort of place that you still hear about today, where, as a last resort, let me go and try the pool at Bethesda. And this is where the man is, and Jesus has the audacity to ask, do you want to get better? And to us, that seems like a stupid question. There are a couple of other questions that maybe should have come first, a couple of better questions. The first one, do you believe? And Jesus asked this question on other occasions of people who wanted healings or wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to know, what's the state of your faith? And quite often, this is where we start when we're looking for those miraculous healings. Is your faith strong enough? Is it big enough? Do you really believe that God can do this? Or another question that arises in at least one case where a man comes to Jesus to cast out a demon is, do you think this is the Father's will? And that's a really good question for us. It's the question in some ways that helps us wrestle with those times when we do believe and the healing doesn't come, right? So these are good questions. Is my faith big enough? That's a good question. Is this what God wants in this moment? Fantastic question. But do you want to be healed? I think almost any doctor would tell you that the answer to this question for the vast majority of people is a resounding yes, but, right? I was at the doctor not too long ago. She informed me that I had high blood pressure. She said, it's not dangerous yet, but at your age, I hate it when they start saying at your age. At your age, you probably should keep an eye on that. I said, okay, fantastic. What do? I did not like what she said next. What's wrong with my diet? I like what I eat. It sustains me. It's doing great. Diet, exercise, sleep. Don't they know ball games go up into the night? They want us to do these things to get healthy. And the fact of the matter is, most of us don't necessarily want to be healthy. We just want to feel healthy. We just want the pain to stop. We just want the aches to go away. We just want. So yes, but I don't want it that. The story about a doctor who comes to the hospital room, and he kind of motions the man's wife out away from him so he can talk to her in the hallway. And he says, I just wanted to talk to you about this first. He said, your husband has a very unusual and very rare condition. He said, it can be fatal, but the good news is we know exactly how to treat it. He said he can work about half a day, but then he needs to come home, and it's best if he... Do you have a recliner at your house? She says, yes, we do. So, well, the recliner is best. He gets in the recliner, he reclines back, and TV has a wonderful effect on this particular disease. Turn on the TV, and if there's a football game on, I'm just saying, you know, this is the known treatment. And if he asks for anything then for the rest of the evening, you need to bring it to him. Do you understand what I've told you? She said, yes, I do. She went in to her husband. He said, what'd the doctor say? She said, he says, you're going to die. Do you want to be healed? Yes. But I don't necessarily want to do the work that's necessary. Do you want to be healed? Jesus comes to this man at the pool of Bethesda, and he says to him, do you want to be healed? And the answer is, well, yes, but here's what he says in John 5:7. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Really? For 38 years? In 38 years, you never figured out how to be at the front of the line. In 38 years, you never found anyone. How about the people who bring you here every morning and lay you on your pallet under in this shady spot? You never found anyone in 38 years who would help you to the water when the time was right. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Well, I was meaning to do something about that. Here we have a case maybe where yes, but means no, thank you. I'm fine. It's okay, really. It's not as bad as it looks. You've got more important things. You go on. Do you want to be healed? Sometimes the answer is no. Why? Why would this man send Jesus on his way? Dismiss him in this moment. Make his excuses. Well, I don't know. We don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll get to talk to him and ask him. But maybe one reason is, you know, he feels like he's living out what he deserves. I'm really not worthy of a healing. I'm really not worthy of being, I got this fair and square, Lord. Or maybe, and this seems a little more likely to me, but, you know, maybe I'm projecting. Maybe he's just decided this is who I am. This is my identity. I'm the beggar. What's his name? Quick, what's his name? He doesn't have a name in the story. This is his identity. He's the beggar. He's the lame man. He's the invalid. That's who he is. It's not much of a life, but it's the one he's got. It's not much of a life, but he gets by. He finds a way. Somehow he's getting from day to day here. It's not much of a life, but he's grown comfortable in it. It's not much of a life, but to be honest with you, take up your mat and walk can be terrifying sometimes. Because we don't know how heavy that mat's going to be, and we don't know where that next step is going to take me. And at least, whatever bad you might say about my current situation, I'm surviving. So here's the question. Is just okay good enough? Is it all right to be almost healthy? Is it okay to just kind of linger and muddle through from one day to the next. Now, what happens next in the story makes no sense to me. Jesus heals him. In spite of the fact that the man's kind of blown him off, in spite of the fact that the man's demonstrated he doesn't really want to do what it takes to get healed, in spite of everything, Jesus heals the man. This is one sign that Jesus is a better human being than I am. I mean, I would have been gone from there. Why does Jesus not turn on his heel and go on to the next one and say, do you want to be healed? Because I'm looking for somebody who wants a miracle in their life. I'm looking for somebody who wants God to be glorified by what happens next. I'm looking for anybody who wants to be whole. But he touches this one and brings healing. See, it turns out in the stories about Jesus, with Jesus, there's always text and subtext and pretext. There's always what he did, and there's always this underlying meaning. And there's always a purpose for doing it. And Jesus is in the midst of a teaching moment here. This is not just about healing a man. This is about bringing a lesson to everyone who's watching. Later on, Jesus comes back to the man and he says this. It's harsh the way it comes off here. See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. I think what Jesus is really saying here is, hey, look, we've fixed the easy part. What God wants to do in your life cuts deeper than your paralysis. This is not just about your body. This is about what God wants to do in your spirit. Throughout this series, we've been preaching from the Gospel of John, reading in the Gospel of John, a gospel written by somebody whose identification of himself is as a person whom Jesus loves. And in each of these stories, we find that moment in which that love pops through. And here is that moment this week. In this story, we learn that Jesus steps into our life with the power to give us victory over sin, because that's what this story is about. This is one of those healings that Jesus did on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees come to confront him about it. And why were you doing this on the Sabbath? And Jesus' answer has nothing to do with a man being lame from birth or a man being a beggar. He gives answer about people receiving new life, about sin being dealt with once and for all. He gives answers about what it means to be truly alive, and that's what this story is about. That when Christ steps into our life, it's not just about feeling healthy. It's not just about being forgiven and having shame and guilt shoved off to the side. It's about being healthy. He wants us to become spiritually healthy human beings and lay aside all the things that are holding us back. And so the question he asks is not a stupid one. And it's not just to a man laying there on the porch of Bethesda. It is to each and every one of us here today. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get better? Or do you just want to feel better? And sometimes the answer is no. I don't think I probably deserve that. This is who I am. I know it's not great. I know it's not perfect. But I'm very comfortable here in my life. Just the way it is. Thank you very much. And sometimes the answer is yes, but. Oh yeah, I want to be healed, Lord. But I'm not sure I'm ready to do the work. I mean, if I'm really honest, Lord, I'm not sure I'm going to commit myself to prayer and worship and reading the scriptures and forgiving the people around me and doing the work that it takes to get my spirit back in order. Yes, I want to be well, but... Or one of my favorites is a prayer that St. Augustine reports was his in his confessions. He said, many an evening I prayed the prayer, Lord, heal me from my iniquities tomorrow morning. Starting first thing tomorrow, we'll get to work on fixing that, but not right now. Because, you know, let's face it, sometimes the illness is fun. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? Or do you just want to feel well? The grace of the cross is a beautiful thing. Knowing that we're forgiven. But do you really want to get well? Do you really want to be healed? We're going to close the service and a little bit different sort of way today. We've got some music for you in a moment, but I'm going to call you to prayer. The altar is always open if this is the right place for you to be in that moment. But God can hear you right where you are too. I don't think it would probably take any of us very long to identify a place in our life where we know we're not well, where we know that we are not who God has made us to be. And I just want us to give truthful answer to the question, do I want to get better? Do I want the healing power of Jesus to take hold in my life? When the music is finished, I'll speak a very soft benediction. But it ain't over till it's over for you today. We invite you to remain here in the sanctuary in communion with God and Jesus until He lets go of you and tells you it's time for you to walk on to the next place. Let's pray.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.